Good evening. It's nice to have you all here today. Appreciate you coming. Thank you, and I'm going to try to work this. Keep your fingers crossed. Okay. There we go. Thank you for coming tonight to listen to the different presentations from God's Word. We appreciate you because we know Friday is a night, end of the week, you're tired of working, you're ready to come home with family. I also like to thank the ladies of Springdale and the elders here for this opportunity. Thank you. From darkness, let the light shine. A veil can be worn by women in the Old Testament to show that they had submission to their husband, show that they respected them. A veil can make me appear more religious. A veil can make me appear more womanly, enticing, mysterious. You can use the rest for your imagination. And a veil can hide my flaws. Big nose, zit, bad hair day, you name it. From the darkness to the light, removing the veils from the heart. We made it. In Genesis 1:3, we start with, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Did you notice that God did not make the sun and the stars and the moon until day 4? As we proceed through this lesson, we want to find out more about the light and veils. We will see that the veils need to be removed and replaced, so that we might see the light of God and glorify God. There are many other lessons we can learn from this. These are just a few and a few suggestions, and not in any detail. Let's start with Moses in Exodus 34, chapter 34, There we go. Moses descended from Mount Sinai with two tablets of stone. God told Moses the commands, and Moses told the people. In 34:29, afterwards, Moses had descended from Mount Sinai. Afterwards, all the Israel came near, and he commanded everything the Lord told him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak, he removed the veils. After he came out, he would tell Israelites what he had been commanded, and the Israelites would see that Moses' face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil on over his face again until he went to speak to the Lord. Now, if we look at 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 12. We read in the scripture, 2 Corinthians. It's just doing all right. Okay. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness, not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel could not look at the end what was fading away. But their minds were closed. Don't do that. Okay. Pardon? Later. I'm sorry. I don't touch my husband's computer for the same reason. See, I told you I was going to do something. Yeah, they can read the fine print. I apologize. We had a few extra minutes to get it. Thank you, Nikki. Okay, appreciate that. Don't press that button. Okay. Now, let's try that again. 2 Corinthians third chapter, starting at verse 12. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness, not like Moses, who put over a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel could not see the end of what was fading away. But their minds were closed, for to this day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains. It is not lifted because it's only set aside in Christ. However, to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled faces, are reflecting the glory of God and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now let's take a look at verse 14 again, where it says, but their minds were closed. For this day, at reading the old covenant, the same veil remains, not lifted. It is only set aside in Christ. In verse 16, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Moses had the veil on his face because the people could not bear to look at him. Their minds were blinded, shutting their eyes against the light that was granted them. The people's heart had grown callous. The veil of darkness and ignorance is on their hearts. But all we Christians, with faces uncovered, behold as clearly as if we can see our own natural face in the mirror the glorious promises and privileges of the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, he has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus. For when God created the heavens and the earth, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Thus, he caused the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts, and he has given our hearts the glorious light of the gospel, just as he has given the world the glorious light of the sun. One of the veils that we can have that covers our heart is a veil of unbelief. In the context of the sixth chapter of John, Jesus had just fed the day before over 5,000 people. The people came looking for him, wanting the bread. Give us this bread, they said. However, Jesus knew their hearts. They wanted the physical loaf of bread. Over and over again, Jesus told them, I am the bread of life. But they would not listen. Jesus was talking to his disciples, so Jesus said to them, I assure you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourself. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. What? I'm not going to eat anybody's flesh, and I'm not going to drink anybody's blood. Let's look at John 6, verse 66. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back away, no longer accompanying him. This was a hard saying for them. So as a result of this, I do not understand what Jesus is saying. I'm not taking the time to know and learn the whole meaning and context of what Jesus said. Not knowing is an excuse not to do his will, the veil of unbelief. As we learn more, we see Jesus is not referring to the literal flesh and blood, but this is for another type of lesson. Another veil we see is the veil of ignorance. As we look in 1 Timothy, first, this is Miss Doodle, by the way, not me. We read in 1 Timothy, first chapter, verses 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul says of himself in these verses, I give thanks to Jesus Christ our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. One who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man, since it was out of ignorance and that I had acted in unbelief. And I received mercy. Think a minute about the Apostle Paul. As he described himself, he gave these qualifications to his brethren. Philippians 3, 5, and 6. If anyone thinks he has ground for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, persecuting the church, as to the righteousness in that law, blameless. Was Saul doing God's will? He thought he was. He was ignorant of it. Let's look at that again. I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I did it in unbelief. It sounds like he knew who he was and what, and he was an intelligent person. Also, Paul gave some more qualifications. I'm a Jewish man born in Tarsus of Cilicia. I practice that name. And educated according to the strict view, of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and educated according to the strict view of the patriarchal law, being zealous for God, just as all of you are today. I persecuted this way, binding and putting in prison both men and women. Paul's qualification had quite a bit that he was telling us about. Let's take a good look at Paul just a moment. It's hard to believe that Paul was a terrorist, a persecutor, enemies of the religion of Israel. What would his people think? What would his parents think? His co-workers, his friends, his boss? PhDs and doctorates and any other titles is not an excuse to keep us from knowing and learning God's will. Consider also the lack of education. This is no excuse either. Compare Paul, a highly educated man in an elite society, to Peter. Peter could be like a blue-collar worker, a fisherman. He was not as educated as Paul, and maybe he didn't have good language, smelly, dirty, and rough. However, he was with Jesus, and he learned. The veils of higher education or lack of education is not an excuse for me to put on a veil of ignorance. We know someone, a grandparent or some relative, that maybe didn't finish grade school, but they knew their Bible. Another veil that can cover us is the veil of denial. Jesus was with his disciples at the supper, and he was speaking to Peter. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you may, and you, when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. Lord, he said, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to the death. I tell you, Peter, Jesus said, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied me three times. Peter was impulsive by action and reacting before thinking. But although he said and did a lot without thinking, he learned and followed Christ. He preached that first sermon in Acts 2. Denying Christ is not an excuse for me not to learn and improve. Another veil we can look at. Hypocrisy. In Galatians, the second chapter in 13, Paul confronted Peter for his quitting one group, going to another. In context, Paul was opposed to Peter. Peter used to eat with the Gentiles. But when the Jews came, he left them. He was afraid of what they would think. For he, Peter, used to eat with the Gentiles before certain men came from James. When they came, he withdrew and separated himself, because he feared those of the circumcised party. Then the rest of the Jews joined in his hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was carried away. If I have to tell someone I'm a Christian because they cannot see it by my actions or by the way I act in the world, I have some veils that are hiding my true identity. I need to remove these veils so that people will see that I am a Christian, a true Christian. Unforgiving. We are familiar with the parable story that Jesus told about the one sheep that was lost of the 99, the one coin the woman lost out of 10, and the father with two sons, one left home and one stayed. We're going to look at the older son. And Luke 15, verses 25 through 30, now the older son was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. He summoned one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Your brother's here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he's back safe and sound. Then he became angry and didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I have been slaving many years for you, and I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours came and used and devoured your assets with prostitutes, and you slaughtered a fatted calf for him. Son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and is now alive, was lost and now found. Am I hiding what I really think about something behind a veil of, I always do, I never do, or you never, you always? Do I compare myself to others? Am I better than her because I don't do what she does or do what she says? Notice how I can always, there's that word, always. Notice that I can always compare myself to someone worse than me. Have I tried to compare myself to someone better than me? Have I compared myself to Christ? How would I compare to Christ? The veils are removed. Yay! Let's put them out of the way. I am going to work on believing. I am learning to not to be arrogant about what type of education I have or don't have. I will work on not denying Christ or be hypocritical and learn to forgive. What next? I got rid of it. I don't have any veils. What next? Let's take a look at Matthew. In context, Jesus had just healed the demon, that demon-possessed man, and now the Pharisees were questioning his authority. Jesus replied and said to them, as he continued with the healed man, when an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it roams through waterless places looking for a place to rest. It doesn't find any. Then it says, I'll go back to the house I came from. And when he arrives, it finds the house vacant, swept, and put in order. And then he goes and brings back seven more other spirits, more evil than himself. And they enter there and they settle down. Things such as adultery. Well, slip to that. Blame it on an apple. Adultery, fornication, jealousies, idolatry. No, no, not me.
All right, how'd you go back?
No, no, not me.
All right, let's go. Back, back, back. Delete, no.
Delete, no.
There we go. No, okay. You're missing all the excitement. Okay. Pardon me. I didn't do it. I know how to do my husband's, but I don't know how to do this one. I'm sorry. Thank you, Nikki. Where were we? Oh, no, not me. I know you miss Miss Doodle. She's missed being here. Move that air thing there now. Didn't this go up? No. We had extra time. You skipped. We'll get to Miss Doodle. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Keep going. All right. Use the arrow button. Silly concept. One more. Oh, don't say that. It's not up there. Okay. We need to go to this one here. Back up. You have a back arrow.
This one.
Back up. Yeah. This one. We'll get there. Miss Doodle has tears in her eyes. I'm beginning to relate.
I'm doing it, and that's doing it here, but it's not doing it there.
She's crying now twice.
So, you want that one?
I want that one, please.
And see, it's right there. It's not playing there.
We can just line up, go around, and look at it.
Who knows about PowerPoint?
Apples.
Apple PowerPoint. Anybody?
Which button?
The FN.
FN?
Yeah.
Funny names, maybe?
Mm-hmm. I don't have a Mac, so I don't.
Is there an escape button?
Escape.
What's it? Those of you who get to speak tomorrow, good luck. It won't be for long. Mr. Timmy. Well. Can you shut it down and zip through it? While we're getting to that, we'll just go ahead. Miss Doodle is on this side of the screen. She has tears in her eyes. Because here are some other veils we can put on ourselves. Expectations. Do you expect too high or too low of yourself? Imperfection. I'm not good enough. Insecurity. I can't do that like Teach. Fear. I'm afraid of what others think. Past. I did so many things in the past that were really bad. People pleasing. What would my parents say? What would my family think? Selfish. I'll go to church when I'm done with getting my education and stuff. Success. This is a key word here. Success. Okay. Success. When I get everything the way I want it, then I'll go to church. Anger. I'm not angry. I went to church once, and do you know what they said?
bitterness. You hold a grudge, and it just lasts and on way too long. Discontent. They don't do the way things, the way I think it ought to be done. Hatred. I forgive you, but I'll never forget it. Racism. Those purple people think they're perfect. They just don't fit in. Guilt. I did something wrong and I can't forgive myself. Am I stronger than God?
Where's your thumb drive?
Do you know where it's safe?
Where's your thumb drive?
No, it's in my purse.
Did you lose it?
Well, we have to close it.
Is Lexis? Do you have that up there?
It's not in there anymore, though.
Lost it. We can continue on, or I can get Miss Doodle dressed. Jeanette, could I ask you to bring my purse up for me, please?
They need it.
Could be in here.
It's not in here.
Is it not?
Okay. Are we having fun yet? I'm glad we had extra time.
No, it was a pink.
It's pink and white.
Girly thing.
Just remember in your comments, ignore this. Okay. Oh, maybe I should say, go ahead and put it down, then they won't ask me ever. Pardon?
In the back.
Yeah, that's my phone. If this ever gets out. I don't want to hear it from my husband. Because he'll say, well, why didn't you do this? You know, computer guys. Where are we? Here we are. Ta-da! You don't want to start over, do you? She's there. There, that one. Clap. Ta-da! All right. Thank you for your patience with this. All right. We just did that list. I think the one that most of us, and I know I am, I did something wrong, and I can't forgive myself. Did you ever do that? Yeah. Point is, am I stronger than God? Okay. Some other veils that we use as excuses. I can't do anything. Matthew 25:15. We each have different talents and ability. I don't have any money. Mark 12:44. She gave out of her poverty. I don't have the time. Ephesians 5:16. Redeem the time. I'm worried about Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. As you can see, we all have these thoughts going through our mind. Oh man, I just don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. Seek God. There's more we can go into that. What can I do? What can I do? In all of this, I have prepared myself as a soldier for Christ. Now I'm ready. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God that you may stand against tactics or tricks of the devil. And I think Dee said that in her prayer. Thank you. If I was preparing for a football game, how would I dress? Would I put on Razorbacks? Would I put on a rival color of excuse me, Tennessee or Texas? Or would I put on my favorite color, which is pink? Or would I put on the colors of my team? When we do with God, when we do with Jesus, we put on His armor. Let's look at some of the armor. Gird your waist with the truth. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, get your minds ready for action. Be in self-discipline and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:14, righteousness, like armor on your chest. This is where the core of your body life is, the heart, the spiritual being. They need to be protected against evil diseases that attack and can harm my innermost part of the body. Notice, I need truth first. If I put on the breastplate of righteousness, I can think, I'm righteous, I'm godly. But I don't have the truth that can save me. Or I can have all the truth, but if I'm not righteous, it doesn't mean a thing. Some of these diseases of the heart, doubt, jealousy, pride, hatred, and some of those we have mentioned earlier. We're getting good. That wasn't mine, I hope. Sorry. Sounded like mine, so I apologize. Ephesians 6:15, and shod your feet with sandals with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on your shoes and move. We need to move to reach others, teach others, tell them about it. Romans 10:15, and how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how welcome are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. Also, I need to be able to move and flee from wickedness. And I have the gospel as my guide. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful passions. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Ephesians 6:16, in every situation, take up the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Shield of faith is protection from the outer attacks of the darts against me. Excuse me. The fiery darts are from Satan. Ridicule, loss of friends, omitted from activities, persecuted, all these for my faith in Jesus. Helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but since we are of the day, we must be sober and put the armor of faith and love on our chest and put on the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation, my mind, my soul knows of God's saving grace for my salvation. I have my thinking correct, and I have protected my head with the helmet. Lastly, sword of the Spirit. And I take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder the soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Tongue twister, sorry. The word can pierce us all the way through our soul. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Notice it is the only offensive weapon we have. It's all I need. If God is on my side, who can stand against me? Ephesians 6:18, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. I have put on all my armor. I will keep it on in good shape by taking care of my armor. And therefore, I'm losing it. Therefore, I will put on renewed knowledge after the image of Him that created me. Colossians 3 and 10. I put on the new self, and I have put on new man, which is the renewed knowledge of Him that created me. Therefore, God's chosen one, holy, loved, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you also forgive others. And above all, put on the love and perfect bond of unity. Now my armor is on. I'm a warrior of God. Also in preparation, I need to prepare my heart. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My soul and my demeanor is nourished by the fruit of the Spirit and is to be shared by others, also bearing fruit. How do we glorify God? It is first shown by His overwhelming radiance, brightness that shone off of Moses' face on Mount Sinai. Then it is reflected figuratively in His people of Israel as they behaved as His representative, which is making His majestic character visible through our eyes. It's a lot of words. In other words, they were examples. God's glory, Christ's glory, are their appearance, as shown in the Transfiguration in Matthew 17 and following verses. In all this, I have removed my veil. I have prepared myself as a soldier of Christ. I am transformed into His image. The deeper I look into His word, the Spirit changes me into being more like God. I go beyond Moses in that I, with unveiled face, behold the glory of God. We reflect that glory to others. God's glory and Christ's glory are visible by our attributes, our attitude, and our actions, and for our character. We do not look deep in His word. When we do not look deep in His word, we struggle in reflecting this image. We are able to, with unveiled faces, to behold the glory of the Lord, and then permanently reflect that glory. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. John 1:4, in Him was life, and the light was the light of men. John 1:5, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John 3:19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of the end.